Welcome to the Burn Your Mortgage Podcast, a Canadian real estate podcast that shows you how to pay off your mortgage sooner and live well while doing it. Now, here's your host, Sean Cooper.
Welcome to the Burn Your Mortgage Podcast. I'm Sean Cooper, and it's great to be back for another episode. On today's show, I'll be talking to Stéphane Turchelet. An 18-year veteran of the Canadian insurance industry, Stéphane has extensive experience advising Canadians as they journey through the process of buying, understanding, and using home insurance. At Square One, Stéphane works with a team of creative professionals whose mission is to make home insurance effortlessly, whether getting a quote or making a claim. Holding one of the most sought-after designations in the industry, Stéphane is a fellow chartered insurance professional and Canadian risk manager who strives to inform consumers and professionals alike about insurance. In my interview with Stéphane, we discuss tenant and renter insurance versus home insurance, house versus condo insurance, the importance of budgeting for home insurance when buying a home, and how to shop around for home insurance. Without further ado, here's my interview with Stéphane. Hi, Stéphane. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. It's great to have you on the podcast. I haven't yet had a home insurance expert on the podcast, and it's such an important topic to discuss, especially if you're buying your first home. So excited to discuss that important topic with you today and get into some of the basics as well as sharing some of the lesser known things, because I find there's a lot of misconceptions out there about home insurance. So yes, really looking forward to our conversation today.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here and hopefully help with some of those points.
Great. Well, we're just talking offline before the podcast here, and you corrected me. It's not Stephen, it's Stéphane, like the cool character on the show Family Matters, if anybody ever watched that show back in the 90s here. So I'll make sure that I say your name correctly here. But anyways, yeah, just trying to start this on a fun note here. But definitely home insurance is a very important thing. You need to make sure that you have it when you're buying a property there, because it's required by the mortgage lender. So the first question that I wanted to ask you was that a lot of people, when they're buying their first property here, some people may be living with their parents, so they might not have had to buy renter's insurance or tenant insurance before, but many people don't have that luxury there, and they're living on their own and paying rent, and they have tenant or renter's insurance. So first off, maybe you could go over some of the difference for people who are familiar with tenant and renter's insurance. How is home or property insurance different than that when you're buying your first property?
Yeah, great question. And you're right that not everyone does have experience with even renter's insurance necessarily, depending upon their living situations before they buy a home. But for those who are familiar with tenant's insurance or renter's insurance, I might use those terms interchangeably because they can come up both ways depending upon where someone is looking. As a tenant, your primary concern is to insure your personal property. So that would be basically anything that would fall out of that house if you tipped it sideways and just let the loose bits roll out into the yard. As a tenant, you own the things in the home, but you do not own the home itself. So your insurance requirements are significantly limited in that respect, in that you need to take care of your personal property. It's your furniture, your clothing, your kitchen equipment, your watch collection. Maybe you have a wall of DVDs that you've accumulated through your formative millennial years. All of these things that are precious to you and that could be damaged while occupying a home that you don't own. And for that reason, tenants or renters insurance is typically on the very affordable side of the insurance spectrum, because that much larger risk, which is the building itself, isn't your responsibility to insure. So your cost is very much tied to the value of the items that you own and that you choose to protect through that policy. That being said, tenants insurance then also includes coverage for your legal liability to others, which is the simple case of you accidentally leave an extension cord out across your living room and a guest over for a dinner party trips over that and suffers an injury, as an example. That might be more relatable to a tenant or a renter because they don't necessarily have the same classic icy driveway where the mail delivery person slips and falls. to worry about as a homeowner might. And then most crucially, in some cases, is the coverage for additional living expenses that a tenant's insurance policy provides. Because I think over the past few weeks, when we've had this polar vortex and a lot of freezing and burst pipes in multi-unit buildings across the country, a tenant may not realize that if that home becomes uninhabitable due to an event like that, depending upon the jurisdiction they're in and how the residential tenancy branch works, they may not be required to pay rent for a period of time if the home isn't inhabitable. But that doesn't mean that someone else is responsible to provide them with a new place to live while they wait for that home to become habitable again. And that's where additional living expense coverage comes in to pick up the cost of whether it's a hotel, a short-term rental, the additional cost of eating in restaurants three meals a day instead of preparing more frugal meals of your own, which you used to be able to do at home. For many people, that's the most significant benefit in the event of a serious event like a cold snap or a wildfire approaching a city and forcing people to evacuate for a period of time. That can be incredibly important for someone in the tenant space. Now, as a homeowner, you face all of those same risks. You risk that your personal property could be damaged in a claim. You risk that your home may become uninhabitable because of something like a burst pipe or a fire that approaches your city or a dishwasher malfunction that floods out three levels of your house. Any number of things could accidentally render that home uninhabitable. And again, you need that additional living expense coverage to provide somewhere else for you to live. Because as a homeowner, you exclusively are providing yourself with shelter. And you need to forecast and prepare for the chance that you may not be able to do that for a period of time and rely on your home insurance policy to help you fund those additional costs. You have that same liability exposure to the trip and fall, the slip and fall. Only if you own a home, especially a detached home, the entire premises is now yours and you're responsible for those potential incidents. So you want to ensure that protection is there. Beyond that, as a homeowner, you now own real property, real physical permanent property that is... I lost my train of thought.
No problem. Just start over again and we'll edit this part, out.
Yeah. Now, perhaps more significantly for a homeowner, you now own real physical property, the house that is sitting on the lot. You own the cube of space within the four walls of your condo, and that real permanent property becomes your responsibility to insure against physical loss or damage. It's no longer someone else's problem because you now own that physical house. It is yours. If you choose not to insure it, that means you are choosing to go out of pocket if anything accidental happens to it. Now, if you're buying a detached home, homebuyers are probably familiar with their mortgage providers requiring a home insurance policy to be in place. And that's there to ensure that if that home is damaged, it can be restored to a saleable and inhabitable condition because to the lender, that home is the significant piece of collateral which they're willing to extend a significant loan to the person who's buying that home. So it's in both parties' interest in that case to make sure that home can be rebuilt if the unexpected happens. Otherwise, the homeowner no longer has a home and the lender no longer has any collateral or potential way to recover the funds that they've loaned out to purchase it. In the condo context, it becomes a little less clear because not all mortgage providers will require themselves to be listed on a home insurance policy if they're providing a mortgage for a condo. So in that case, there may be a perception that condo insurance is optional, and if your budget is tight, you can maybe avoid it for a year or two until you can get in later on. And that assumption or perhaps perception could be a very risky one, especially for a first-time home buyer who's putting a lot of their existing resources into qualifying for that mortgage and funding the down payment and closing costs. In a condo, even though the condo corporation or the strata corporation, if you're in British Columbia, is responsible for ensuring the physical structure itself, that refers only to the physical structure. And typically it only refers to original construction as well. So that's the common areas, the elevators, the pool, the garbage room, the parking levels, sometimes even the individual doors and windows on a unit. But increasingly, we're seeing bylaws across the country that place the responsibility to ensure the interior finishes of the unit on the unit owner themselves. As simple as from the paint in, or in some cases, it could be more onerous. Like from the concrete in, the owner can become responsible for repairs to damage within their unit. So not only could, say, the classic example of someone in a unit above you puts a coat hanger on that fire sprinkler and causes a massive flood that takes out three floors of your condo tower, not only is your personal property damaged, not only do you need a place to stay while your condo is being decontaminated, if you have improved any aspect of your condo, maybe you replaced the vinyl flooring with hardwood, perhaps you replaced your carpet with luxury vinyl plank throughout, maybe you upgraded the built-in appliances or renovated the kitchen or the bathroom. All of those additional items that were not present in the original construction are no one's responsibility but your own. And sometimes that takes newer condo owners by surprise, especially if people before them had made those improvements, which would have made the unit more attractive to buy, but also become part of their own personal responsibility to insure.
Thanks for laying that out so clearly. And yeah, definitely speaking from personal experience, a couple of things came to mind. Like I remember recently seeing a news on the story where there was a lady where she was living beside a new construction property and there were some issues with it. And the city said it was in danger of property falling over. So she actually couldn't live in her house anymore. So I certainly think that having a good home insurance policy that helps pay for living accommodations when you can't live in your house in a situation like that definitely could come in handy because it could be expensive to live elsewhere. And yeah, definitely, I have heard stories, even like my mother, as an example, she lives in a condo and this didn't happen to her. But yeah, somebody as a prank or a joke, or I don't really find this a very funny joke, but they decided to turn on the fire hose at full blast on the top floor of the condo, and it did a lot of water damage to the other units there. So yeah, there is that misconception that, oh, I live in a condo, I'm protected already with the condo building's insurance. But as you've clearly laid out, it protects the common areas, but inside your unit, it doesn't protect the inside things in your unit, like hardwood floors or anything else, and doesn't protect your personal property as well. So very important to make sure that you get condo insurance as well. So yeah, thanks for addressing that there. So when it comes to actually financially planning to buy a home, like people budget for all sorts of things like utility, hookup, land transfer tax, real estate lawyers fees, but something that like many people don't really plan for in advance is budgeting for home insurance there. They kind of, as we were discussing this offline, they make an offer on a home and then they get the mortgage approval and all that. But it's only after that when they actually start looking into home insurance and receiving quotes. So, yeah, maybe you could talk about the importance of budgeting for home insurance and how that's something that you can actually check out in advance. Like when you see a property that you like, it's not that hard to find out what kind of home insurance you might be looking at so that you're not caught off guard.
Absolutely. And that's a really important point to consider. In the past, 17 years of working in this field, and the first 10 of those was working directly as an agent and advisor with customers, so many of whom were first-time home buyers, there isn't necessarily the same level of awareness of home insurance as a budget and household cost item as there is for car insurance. And, I can relate to this because I can't recall any point in my education from grade 1 to grade 12 where the household skills or career and life management courses actually referred to insurance outside of the car insurance context. And that might be because the car is the first big thing that most of us buy. So it's the first thing on the list and the one that everyone is the most interested in. And I think it's fairly common practice for someone who's car shopping to go online or call their broker and get a quote for every single car that they're thinking about purchasing because they appreciate that the price of insurance will vary from one car to the next and also from one insurance provider to the next. And that helps them determine whether they'll be able to afford not just the car and the monthly payment to finance the vehicle, but the insurance that they will have to pay on a monthly basis for as long as they want to drive that car because it's required by law to have that kind of coverage. On the property and homeowners insurance side, that seems to come as an afterthought in a great many cases. And it's probably because of that lack of visibility or that lack of, momentum as a culture and thinking about that as we're growing up and heading out into the world. It sort of happens more by accident. First, your landlord requires you to have a tenant policy because they're concerned about liability that could attach to what you do in the home. And then the next time you hear about it is when you're buying a house and you realize close to completion of that sale that you need to provide proof of home insurance to your lender if you expect them to fund the mortgage. And that can put people in a very tight position if they hadn't anticipated that in advance. Not only can the timing be difficult, because if you're closing on a Friday and you haven't obtained any quotes for home insurance yet, you're now racing against time to get those quotes completed. If you're unable to qualify and buy a policy directly online, you might need to wait for someone to review your file and get back to you the next business day. And that could delay this incredible life-changing event that you just couldn't wait to have that Friday afternoon and head into your new house with that bottle of Prosecco and really celebrate your accomplishment. So from that angle alone, it can be a little difficult to see people in that situation. And perhaps a way to correct and prevent that for a lot of first-time home buyers is to point out that home insurance is just as easy to quote as car insurance. You can quote with a number of different providers in advance for as many different homes as you are considering buying. Even when you're thinking of putting through an offer, get in touch with your agent and say, here's the address I'm looking at now. Here are the details for this house. How much do you think this one will cost to insure? And even if you're planning 3 or 4 months out, maybe the quote can't be guaranteed any longer than 30 days, but that ballpark is still going to be a very valuable tool in your toolbox when you budget, because even if that quote changes, it's not likely to change as much as a quote that you didn't get and you just get a sudden surprise all at once when you get a quote the first time after removing conditions. So I think that is a very important point to consider. You can get quotes for home insurance just like car insurance. And as part of the budgeting process, you probably should, because it might inform your selection of home, depending upon whether certain things that make the home itself more affordable might make the insurance less affordable. And that balance over the long run might influence you to choose a house with maybe a different square footage, slightly different neighborhood, maybe even choosing between a home with a new roof versus a 30-year-old roof could make the difference in that monthly insurance cost to you that you realize. You know what, this slightly higher upfront cost rolled into my mortgage is way easier to budget for and far less expensive over the long run than if I were to buy a fixer-upper roof that will cost me maybe 10 to 20% more to insure every month. So it could be a very important budget consideration for anyone looking for a home, whether it's a condo or a detached house.
Those are some really great points, and thanks for raising them because, yeah, like the people are in the habit of kind of leaving home insurance to the end. But as you said, there are definitely huge benefits to looking into home insurance at the beginning there because, as a first-time home buyer, with how expensive properties are these days in big cities like Toronto and Vancouver and Calgary and elsewhere, I mean, first-time home buyers are typically pretty cash-strapped. So if your home insurance ends up being more expensive than you thought, it can really hamper you for the coming months and years. And yeah, you don't want to find yourself in a situation where your house rich and cash poor and so much money is going towards your house that you can't afford to do anything fun. So yeah, it doesn't hurt to find out about that information in advance so that you're not caught off guard later on. So yes, great points that you've raised there. So the last thing I wanted to talk about was considerations when looking for home insurance and looking at home insurance policies. Now, being an independent mortgage broker like myself, there's the bad habit with a lot of people is that when looking for mortgages, all they consider is the mortgage rate. They don't look at the terms and conditions of the mortgage, which can be very important, like stuff like the penalty, the prepayment privileges, being able to port their mortgage. I mean, this can literally mean the difference in thousands of dollars in penalties and fees. But people, just for whatever reason, they kind of have the bad habit of just focusing on the mortgage rate. So it seems to me like when it comes to home insurance, a lot of people have that bad habit as well. They just look for the home insurance with the lowest quote, and that's the one that they end up going without considering other things. So yeah, I mean, when it comes to home insurance policies, I mean, I'll be honest myself, it can seem like it almost rocket science to me. It's not the easiest things to read these home insurance policies and understand them. So maybe you could break it down for the listeners and just the listener know a few things to focus on and ask about when looking for a home insurance policy, just to be able to compare one to the other and not just simply go with the one with the lowest quote, because you often get what you pay for. the lowest quote may have less coverage there. So yeah, maybe you just quickly let us know a few points that people should inquire about so that they can fairly compare one home insurance policy to the other.
Absolutely. And I think you've done a great way of introducing that. Just like mortgages, there's a great deal of commoditization, in my view, in the customer mindset when it comes to insurance. Perhaps the perception that insurance is insurance, it's all the same, and you should pay as little as possible for it because it's just there for absolute outside emergencies, in the same way that maybe someone's applying similar calculus to a mortgage. It's a mortgage, it's a loan, you get the one that costs you the least, so you can get into as much house as you possibly can. By comparison, we need to think about these as what they are, which is contracts that have very clear and specific promises in them, whether it's a mortgage or a home insurance policy. And understanding the impact of those promises is more important than just the bottom line. Because if you don't understand the fine point, as you say, prepayment terms could be different and surprise you with an additional maybe $5,000 cost. I might be lowballing that without understanding the mortgage side very well. But the same kind of pitfalls could face someone who purchases a home insurance policy without considering the finer details of that policy. And if they don't understand them, taking the time to speak to a professional like an agent or a broker to help understand and explain the points that are going to be most impactful to their bottom line if something happens. You know, just like you might think, I could possibly prepay one day, let's just go through what the conditions would be under this loan versus the next and choose the one that will better provide that opportunity for me. I like to give the example on the home insurance side, especially for condo buyers. Because in a condo, you have to insure more than just your stuff and the finishes within the unit, because you don't just own your cube of space in the building, you also own a share in the building as a whole. You are a co-owner along with everyone else of every chunk of concrete and rebar, of that elevator, of the pool, of the roof, of everything. And if sudden and accidental damage happens to the common property, at the end of the day, the condo corporation is just the group of owners that have been elected to take care of that on behalf of the owners. But all of the owners collectively are ultimately responsible for making the building whole again if something damages it. And that's where the sometimes frightening concept of assessment comes in. Now, special assessments for things like optional upgrades or maintenance are not covered by home insurance or condo insurance. But assessments that arise out of accidental damage, like that sprinkler burst that happens at the top of a brand new tower and causes damage down, 10 or 20 floors, that will typically be covered by the policy that the condo corporation maintains for the building. But those policies have deductibles, just like homeowners' policies do. And those deductibles can be significant, especially in the case of water damage. It's not uncommon these days. See a water damage deductible of $200,000 or higher for a condo building. And if something happens to that building, whether it starts in your unit or elsewhere, there's a very good chance that deductible could be partially or entirely payable by one or all condo unit owners in the building. And
Yeah,
that's
because
something that.
I don't know about you, but I don't have an extra 200,000 sitting in the bank to cover something like that.
Exactly. And depending upon the bylaws in a condo building, you may actually be considered responsible for the entire deductible if something like water damage happens in your unit and causes damage throughout the building as a whole. So that's something that condo insurance can absolutely respond to, but not all policies are created equal in that respect because not all providers have designed for that scenario. It depends upon the needs of the customers with whom they connected focus groups and planned their product development around. But if you're in a position like that, one policy, let's call it policy A, might be significantly cheaper than policy B. But policy A might contain a clause that says the most we will pay in the event of a loss assessment is $25,000 or $50,000. And those are the finer points, just like the prepayment penalties under a mortgage, that you need to think about. If this happens, not just because of me and my unit, but because there are 200 other units in here with people living their lives. And when people live their lives, accidents happen. I might need to pay an assessment like this. And if I do, will this policy cover the entirety of that assessment, or will it only cover part of it and then leave me out of pocket $5,000, $10,000, $20,000? That's, I think, a super salient example right now because of the recent increases in deductibles on the condo master policy side over the past 3 to 4 years. I think that's maybe one of the best examples I could provide right here.
Thank you so much. So, yeah, definitely be sure to ask questions when looking into home insurance policies. If one quote comes in a lot lower than the others, be sure to ask about the amounts of the deductible and what is covered as well. Because, like I said, if one quote is coming in a lot lower than the other, more than likely you're getting a lot less coverage there. So, a question I like to ask myself is, in a worst case scenario, if something were to happen, can I actually afford to pay this deductible out of pocket? If I can't, then that's when I would ask for the deductible to be reduced so that it is actually at an affordable level there, because maybe I can afford to pay $2,500 out of pocket or $5,000 out of pocket. But if you're a first-time home buyer and you're putting a lot of your money towards the house, maybe that's not affordable for you there. So yeah, definitely be sure to ask about the deductible, because you don't want to be caught off guard and end up being cash strapped and end up having to pay a huge deductible out of pocket that you didn't think that you were going to have to. So yes, thanks for those great examples there. And I just want to make sure I'm getting it right. It's Stefan, like Steve Urkel's cool alter ego from Family Matters. Am I getting it right this time?
Absolutely, yes.
Great. Well, that's everything we want to discuss today. So yeah, thanks so much for being on the podcast today, Stefan, and discussing home insurance, such an important topic that many people often overlook here. And yes, it was great to get your insight and expertise today on the topic.
Great. I'm very happy to be here. And thank you for the invitation. I hope this is helpful to your listeners.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Burn Your Mortgage podcast. Besides being a podcast host, I'm also an independent mortgage broker. If you or anyone you know, family, friends, coworkers, or neighbors could ever use any unbiased mortgage advice or a second opinion, feel free to reach out. Email me at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at burnyourmortgage.ca. Or call or text me at 647-867-3711 for a free mortgage consultation. Also, be sure to head on over to www.burnyourmortgage.ca and sign up for my free weekly newsletter. As a small token of my appreciation, you'll be able to download my ultimate mortgage checklist on choosing the perfect mortgage. I look forward to hearing from you and helping you with all your mortgage needs. Once again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Burn Your Mortgage podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and leave a rating. Until next time, happy mortgage burning.